family. So here we are. Excellencies of love, 1 Corinthians 13, we're talking about that. For a moment, we kind of finished that, but we finished it on a note of a revelation of this perfect. When the perfect comes, the others will be done away with. What does that mean? You know, I had an epiphany about that this week, and I felt really responsible to share that, because you see, everything we grow up in, society grows up in, they grow up in this element that you live in right now. There's this element that you live in right now, and God's visiting you in your spirit, and he's teaching you, and he's showing you things, and somehow your life has to be relevant to the time that you live in. This time that they lived in is what we're reading about, but we have to make it a time that we live in, that we understand that we can be fruitful. He's called you to be fruitful. We're a fruitful people. We're the church. We're the pillar and ground of the truth. If you want to see the truth, you're going to have to look to the church. That's where the truth comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truth. He is truth. So let me buzz through this. Not that I'm in a hurry, but the idea of this review to push into new territory. He talks about the supernatural gifts. We acknowledge them. And again, I'm really trying to stay focused on here. This is a letter of correction, a letter of a people group who was the church of the living God, the church of the living God here in Corinth, house churches. See, you interpret church. You say church, it's like a big building where we all come together. Not here, it wasn't. How long ago, ask yourself, you know, maybe none of us will come up with the exact answer. How long ago was it really that the resurrection happened? The real resurrection of Jesus Christ. How long ago was it when Paul was preaching this and teaching this? 30 years, 35 years, 30 years. It was just not long ago, 25 years ago. The church is relatively new. The thoughts and ideas you have of church are, there's been a lot of history happening, and where have we come from? And look at the church and examine it and examine what God has done to your heart and the call he's called you out of darkness into light. So a lot is happening. So we're looking at this and we're seeing things like supernatural moving in the church. It's still doing that today. Right here, today. Supernatural is moving in the church. Now the only reason you doubt that is because you're not sure what it looks like. What does it look like? But anyway, moving on. If I speak with tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I like to make little observations like this. You know, Paul was influenced in all his metaphors. If you care to look at this, this is not some big giant revelation, but we act like this in the same way. There's different elements of your life and your education. You use that in metaphors in order to bring out spiritual truth when you speak to people. Different things in your life. You do it all the time. Paul was. Who was one of the main people he was hanging out with during this journey as he went on his secondary journey? Luke. Why is that important? Well, Luke always referred to Paul and talked to Paul. Now, say proof of this. Who was Luke? He was a doctor. He understood life in medical terms. And it's interesting how Paul brings out many spiritual qualities in physical medical terms. The human body, the parts of the body. What influences you when you speak of Christ? Here's another interesting observation about Paul. He says, I run as though I'm not beating the air. Athletics. There was things that Paul was, there was people who were saved and born again, spirit-filled, that were influencing Paul. He understood the things around him. And he put them in metaphor in order to bring about truths of the Spirit of God. Run the race. The crown, the spiritual, the crown of life was this Greek culture. and this running with these goals and physical exercise and making yourself strong that you might win. We have to win this spiritual battle. We will win this spiritual battle. And we have to overcome. And we come from a small place and a childish place and a baby place. And we grow up. What's another thing he's influenced by? Well, he gives you a little clue right here. If I speak with a tongue of men and angels, but I don't have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. His thoughts were stirred up by musicians that he was around. What musicians? Bring that out in the Word. What scripture are you using? Don't you have any musicians hanging around with you in life? And don't they talk to you? And don't they sing things that inspire you and cause your thoughts to go to Christ, cause your thoughts to go to God? This is not the only place you see this as we look at these metaphors. 1 Corinthians full of these metaphors that the Apostle Paul, he has to do this. I don't come to you speaking as mature men, as men of spirit, but men of the flesh, as children. And I feed you with milk. It's all metaphor. And this is the word, but the mature. Solid food is for the mature. He's bringing us solid food here in this love walk. So here we go. Gifts of prophecy, know all mysteries, all knowledge, have all faith, remove mountains. But I don't have love. What good is it? Well, love is the way. Still, I show you a more excellent way. This is the pathway we're on. Miracles, faith, love it all. Hold fast to it all. Hold fast to it. Don't forget about spiritual gifts. We're going to get to that in a minute. So he talks about if I have possessions, I feed the poor, I surrender my body to be burned. It doesn't profit me anything if I don't love. And then he goes on. Verse 4, he goes on to describe what love is. It can be an elusive thought. It can be a powerful thought. It inspires you. It lets you look in the mirror. It lets you examine your life. It's like, am I kind? This love... Again, the Greek word, Pastor Bill had brought this out many times over the years, the different Greek words for the word love. Well, this one, of course, is agape. Yes, that is very important that you understand what love he's talking about. He's talking about the God kind of love, the one that moves you to be kind, the one that's attributes. When you're walking in that kind of love, you are kind. You're not jealous. You don't brag. You're not arrogant. You don't act unbecomingly because you're walking and living in the love of God. And he's talking about this is the way we walk. This is the way. Now, yes, that's your life. That's your life goal. That's leading you. What is leading you? These are the things we were bringing out. Verse 8, love never fails. Just a little review. But if there's gifts of prophecy, if there's it will be done away with. If there's tongues, they will cease. If there's knowledge, it will be done away with. Love brings you up a level. A lot of levels, actually. A lot of levels, the love of God. And this was the epiphany that I had that I closed on last week, which is I kind of think it's really important. I've often been inspired, you know, through the teaching here through Pastor Bill, like sometimes words change everything about a verse. It says here, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. That's absolutely the truth. But when the perfect comes, teleos, that's the Greek word. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Well, here's where the line in the sand is drawn, and this is where, over here, you have the liberal, conservative, theological realm, and over here you have the conservative, theological realm, and like another famous scripture, who do men say that I am? Oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Again, we have the liberal, conservative theology standing on one side of the aisle and a conservative on the other side of the aisle. It's the revelation. Upon this rock, I will build my church. That's what I believe it means. Who was the rock? The revelation, and Christ is the revelation. He is the revelation upon which we build. Our life is built upon this. Whereas the liberal theology, somehow it changed from everything that God was doing since Genesis and moving forward through all the prophets and David the king revealing in the covenants and the promises. It was all about Jesus. Until Peter says, "Thou art the Christ." Now all of a sudden it's not about Jesus anymore. How does that happen? Now it's about Peter? Anyway, a little rant for you. Moving forward, all right, here we go. Let's go to Matthew. I'm curious about this. I was curious about this. Matthew 5. And this is famously known as the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. You could spend weeks and weeks and weeks in this. But let's just go to the end of it, okay, if you don't mind. Because I think it's important. Perfect. When the perfect comes, all right? But I say to you, verse 44, love your enemies. What's chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians about? Basically, it's about love. What kind of love? Agape love. What kind of love is this? Is Jesus talking about here? Agape love, the same love. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, let's put this Beatitudes, these are the thoughts of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's imparting into the people that he's speaking to. Compare it to the time that you live. Right here in 2023, are we doing this? Are we laying hold of this? Are we being stirred and inspired by the words of the Lord? Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We're the sons of God. We're the daughters of God, who's our Father is in heaven. So that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven, for he causes the sun to rise on evil and good. Sends the rain on the righteous and unrighteous. God is compassionate to win people to himself, to collect up his creation and live with them and dwell with them forever. That's what his desire is. I desire all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that. Let's move on. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? What more? Well, it's provocative thoughts, right? Do not even the Gentiles do the same thing? Shouldn't there be more expected out of you as a Christian, as a believer, as a man and woman of God who walk in love? Now, here's what got me. Therefore, you are to be perfect. What's that Greek word? Telios. The same Greek word that Paul uses. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Back to 1 Corinthians. Back to the metaphor. Back to why I think it's important to understand that when he says here, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. Now he's going to bring a metaphor like he has for the last 12 chapters, metaphors to explain what he meant. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Childish things are done away with when you become perfect. Just food for thought as we move forward through this. Paul is trying to bring this people to maturity. Now we know that the liberal side of this theology says, basically, they replace that word perfect with the Bible. When the Bible comes, then we don't need all this other stuff. Excuses to explain away the gifts of the Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are important. Moving among you, in your life, you'll know when you need them. How important they are. And again, the metaphor continues. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. I was just reading in Joshua, the book of Joshua, says that the temple, when the temple, tabernacle, I'm sorry, the tabernacle, when it rises up and gets ready to cross the Jordan, they were to follow it at a distance. And the reason you follow it at a distance is so you can keep your eye on it, because God knows where he's going and you do not. You don't know where you're going. We find that in life sometimes. We're not sure where we're going. We like to plan our life out. How's that been working for you? We like to think, we say, ministry or whatever, whatever you think. We like to plan our life out, but we find that oftentimes that causes us to stumble and fail. The call is to stay close to Jesus. The call is to follow him. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He's going to say that. So remember, Paul is growing in revelation. Where is he at in spirit? We're taking a special note of that. This is his second missionary journey, not his first. His first missionary journey he has under his belt already. He hung out in Antioch for a while. Things are happening in Antioch, and he hangs out there for a while. And a bunch of people rose up, and they begin to argue with him about how important it is to be circumcised and how important it is to live under the law and how important it is for all these things. And he says, no, we're not having this. We'll go down to Jerusalem, and we'll talk to the apostles, and we'll find out what this is. So there they went, off to Jerusalem. I don't want to go into that whole story again, but this is the way the narrative follows. They get down there. Everything was said that could be said. A letter was written. Possibly the first letter that has ever gone out. The letter was written. And Paul had it. And Paul went back to Antioch, and all the people were so excited. They were so excited to know that the Jews and the Gentiles are the same. The same promises had come to them. And they searched the scriptures and found out that God loves Gentiles as much as he does Jews. He loves you no matter what your background is, no matter what your race, no matter what your ethnicity is. And once again, I say, you know, because the liberal side says, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you do. It does matter what you do. Choose life. This is what matters, that you make a choice. And I'm not going to get on any bandwagon here. You know, you don't get to stay like you are. This is just a fact. I don't get to stay like I am. He challenges me. The Holy Spirit challenges me. He arrests you. Sometimes that correction comes in really interesting ways. Those we won't go into. So here he is in this metaphor. We see in a mirror. I got off on that, on Joshua. Keep your eye on the tabernacle as it goes forth. God knows where he's going. We do not know where we're going because we see in a mirror dimly. The metaphor. But we're going to see. When God gets you there, you're going to see it. This is what he's been telling me. You begin to see it. But I know in part. And then I will be fully known just as I've been fully known. For now, faith, hope, and a love, and abide in these three. But the greatest is love. This is the way we walk as we go into new territory here. Pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue love. Pursue love. Yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are important. But especially that you may prophesy. He hasn't changed subjects. He hasn't changed ideas. He's bringing them to a maturity. They weren't, and they're not. They're men of the flesh. Remember, they sat down, read all these 16 chapters. They weren't chapters then. They were just letters, maybe on a scroll. I like to think of it you know, as a scroll. And here they're unrolling this and they're reading it, probably parchments. Who knows how it was actually on paper, on skin, on animal skin, whatever it was. However that was. For one speaks in tongues, he's going to clarify now the supernatural, this 12th chapter. He's going to bring clarity as he's moving forward, because this is why the supernatural moving among you is important. This is why. Paul had a very specific reason why these kinds of things are important. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. For one who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but speaks to gods. In his spirit he speaks mysteries. That's an interesting thought. Why it's important for you to continue to build yourself up in your most holy faith, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. In your spirit, you're speaking to God and you're speaking mysteries. But I'm not teaching on that subject. I'm bringing clarity to why they were immature and why was this letter written and what is the outcome of the letter. So we're pressing forward. No one understands him, but his spirit speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for what? He's already said this in the past. He's bringing it to light again. Edification, exhortation, and consolation. When you speak clearly and when you prophesy clearly, you know, don't let that word throw you. What does that actually mean? What to prophesy? Speaking from inspiration. Pastor Bill's going to prophesy here in a minute. Oh, he's going to tell us the future. Well, I don't know if the Spirit moves on him that way and he tells future things or those things to come. Who knows what is to come? The Lord Jesus knows what is to come. And he will prepare you for the things that is to come. And if he uses prophetic ministry and pastoral ministry and prophet ministry, teaching ministry to prepare you for things to come, to strengthen you to stand in that evil day, then that's prophecy. But the one who speaks to men for edification, exhortation, or consolation, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. He's bringing a clear distinction. You're not spiritual just because you speak in tongues. That doesn't make you spirit. That doesn't quantify your spirituality. It does not. Love might have something to do with it. For sure. Maturity. When you become perfect as your telios, as your heavenly Father is perfect, that will qualify. Now I wish, and that doesn't even qualify obedience. Not only do you have to be mature, not only do you have to hear the Spirit of God, but you have to obey. You have to do it. What did he tell you to do? How many people have you known and met that they come and tell you that God told me this and they never did this? And 30 years later, they never did this. And you look back and you remember and you see. Now, that's not judging them. They're the one that said it. You didn't say it. You just remember what they said. They said, God told me this. Well, you have to do it. That's part of maturity, doing. What does a grown man do? He provides. He protects. He guides. He governs. What's a child do? Play. Pretty much. We don't qualifying what is church. Paul was explaining what is church earlier in this letter, bringing correction to them. Church isn't coming and speaking in tongues and bellowing out. There's order in the house. There's order in the house. One is greater who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets. Again, clarifications. We could teach on this subject, but Paul's identifying areas that they need to grow in. You need to understand it. How many times has he said this in this book already? I do not want you to be unaware. I want you to understand. He wants them to understand what's going on. That one who speaks in the tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, bringing clarity to it, what does it profit you if I just begin to speak in tongues If I come up here, you know, in your house, I come into your living room, begin to speak in tongues, what does it profit you? Unless I speak either by way, this is what tongues does. There will be a revelation. There will be knowledge come forth. There will be prophecy come forth. These are the things that should happen when this gift is moving and activated. There will be teaching. Here he's going back to his musical root. This is fascinating to me. Paul's influenced by this, and he feels he can bring this metaphor to us and that we'll understand what he's saying. Did you ever hear taps? Do you know what taps? You would know. Military people. Taps. You know what taps is, right? I mean, you don't even have to know that. You can be a non-military person and you would know what taps is. How about the wedding theme? We all rise and turn around and look at the entrance. You hear sounds. And you take your hat off and you stand at attention because someone has died. Taps. It's very famous. You know, remember all the old cavalry movies that we used to watch? You know, way back in the day, F Troop. These sounds come. Now, Paul's taking this metaphor and he's bringing it to life before us. You know, that you realize that this connects with this. And this is how it's clear. Even lifeless things. I'm twirling again. Even lifeless things. Wait for it. Here we go. Either flute or harp, it produces a sound. If they do not produce a distinction in the tone, how will it be known what is played on the flute or the harp? A distinct tone. If you've ever, you really get this, if you'd ever listened to a student first pick up a violin. Right, Sally? A student picking up a violin for the first time, squeaking and squawking, and a person that grabs a saxophone and it honks and it horns and there's not a distinct tone. And then you listen to a jazz player play, or you listen to a first chair violinist play. It's like amazing. Distinction and tone. It makes a melody. It makes sense. It makes music. Interesting thing how he brings this in. If they do not produce a distinct tune, how will they know what was played on it? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? I have the good fortune now of helping Evan play the drums. Well, I'm not from drum academia. I didn't go to college to learn drums. Do you mind if I tell a little bit? It's okay. He's like, I don't care. Anyway, so how far can I really take little Evan? How far can I take him in drumming? So I have to step up my game a little bit. I've got to go take myself to some YouTube school and learn some things a little bit more than what I know, because in about 5 minutes he'll be better than me. It's just the way it is. So here I am looking at some different things, and it's the shuffle beat, you know what that is, based on, you know, 1-3-1-3-1-3-1-1-2-3-1-2-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1. Not that any of you get that, but you know, I'm not trying to overwhelm you. I'm just trying to say, where did that come from? Where did that come from? The debt that a rock drummer owes to the little boys that played in the Civil War. All the music that we have in drumming comes from the little drummer boys in the war. With all the cannons going off, all the gunfire going off, all the things, the loud noises, how do you get your army to shift one way or another? By listening to a drum rudiment. Go left. Go right. Abandon ship! You know, The drums have a voice, and there's a distinct sound, and they had to come to know what that was. And all this is carried on in this jazz and this blues rhythms that we have. Am I right, Sally? She's done study in music, used to teach it here at Grace Academy. So where's the origin of some of these things? How do you come up with paradiddles and six-stroke rolls and all these kinds of things? Where do they come from? They have an origin. They have a source. The shuffle beat, where's that come from? People coming from the deep south, going to Detroit to go into the plants, to build cars, to build washing machines, to build dryers, to build things. War effort, all these kinds of things. Coming from the deep south on railroads. Now, how many of you have ridden in railroad car? What do they sound like? Everything has a rhythm. And so these players are in listening to this for hours. And they come up with these rhythms. And like I say, your life is affected by the things that you see and hear and experience. And therefore, you're able to translate that. Now, if your mind is stayed on the spiritual and not on the natural, you'll take those things and you'll translate them to the spiritual. And you'll talk about the life of Christ. So here we have clarity of speech, clarity of rhythm. For you will be speaking into the air. If I speak in an unknown tongue, and all, I'll just be blowing it off in the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world. And no kind is without meaning. No kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to one who speaks a barbarian. There's a really strong word. You're a barbarian. You're going to go overseas, or you'll go to South America, or you'll go to India, you'll go to play. You're a barbarian to them, and they're a barbarian to you. Don't overestimate what that word means, but it's just, I don't understand you. Some people are, socially, we're barbarians to them. They don't understand how you live and how your life is. Believe me, they're a barbarian to me, I can tell you that. So also you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, again, he's giving a nod to the church, paying them a compliment. It's good to be spiritually minded, but you have to do it in order. It has to be with a purpose. Is it for edification? Is it for exhortation? Is it for the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Seek to abound for the edification of the church. That is what we're doing. You abound to the edifying of the church. Paul's giving them instruction. Remember, this letter is a letter of correction, showing them how things have to be. Therefore, let no one speak in tongues. Let one who speaks in tongues. Let me say that again so that I misspoke there. Therefore, let one who speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. Of course you should. Pray that you might interpret. What are you saying? Are you ever curious as what you're saying? God will reveal. He'll show you. He'll tell you. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. My mind thinks my spirit is a barbarian. You see, my spirit thinks my mind is a barbarian. No, what are you telling me to do that for? That's wrong. You know, this is what you used to do when you were a child. You don't do this anymore. You think about where today's society is going. Now, you know, when I was a little kid, I know I'm old, sort of. I'm older. Thank you, bro. I'm older. I used to have Army Ken when I was a little kid. G.I. Joe. Yeah, that's what it was. G.I. Joe with the little wooden box. You're laughing at me like you had him too. G.I. Joe. I grew up in a time of war. I was born right after Korean War. My father was in the reserves hoping to go to Korea, but he was too young. He was like that age. His father would not allow him, who went through the Second World War, would not allow him to go into battle. So he sign up for the reserve because he knew that the reserves were being called up. So he thought, well, I'll just go in the reserves and then I'll get called up and then there's nothing he can do about it. That was his thinking because my dad, that was something about him that was honorable. He thought, man should get up, come and fight for his country. So anyway, Korea came and went, and then my parents got married, and they had children, and I was one of them, 1955. Shortly after that, communism, how has the world changed? You know, this is what I'm talking about. How's the world changed? How's the church influenced by that? How's governments influenced that? Communism is trying to spread its wings all throughout the world. You know, we have another enemy we're battling right now that's trying to change the world. If they can and want to use guns, they will. Well, that's all they have to do is infiltrate your schools and they'll change your kids and your kids will all rebel against you. That's easier than bullets. Cheaper. Let's just change everybody's mind. So that's what evil is trying to do, is to change your mind, to influence you, to tell you that this fruit is good. This fruit is poison. That fruit is poison. I told you not to eat from that tree. This is what we have to stand our ground in, these kinds of things. So here we go. I'm born in this era of time, all through the Vietnam War. Even till I was in high school, we were still in Vietnam. I signed up for the military shortly after I got out of high school because I came of age to sign in the military. But I stopped playing with my G.I. Joe. I just want you to know that, Janet. I stopped playing with my G.I. Joe, but you know, today, in today's economy, the way manufacturing is and the way social thinking is, instead of having G.I. Joe, you open up your box and there's G.I. Joe and you have a bunch of makeup in there and wigs. How does a social order and marketing is like an atomic bomb. It just goes into an area and changes everybody's mind. How is this possible that we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine that comes along? We should be stable. Our anchor. We're anchored. We're planted in Christ. What's the outcome then? I will pray with my spirit. And I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in your spirit only, which you are doing, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen? Because there is some ungifted from time to time. People who are not inclined to the Spirit of God, who are not awakened yet, they're not spiritually woke. Is that wrong to you? They're not spirit, because this is what happens. Awake, awake, O sleeper. Where do you think they got that idea? Not from the Spirit of God. When we're awakened out of our slumber and our sluggardness and our sleep, there's no new ideas. The devil doesn't come up with new ideas. He steals them and perverts them. That's what we know, right? Four, you're giving thanks well enough. Yes, you are when you're speaking with tongues. When your spirit man is stirred up and you're speaking with tongues, you're giving thanks well enough. But the other person isn't edified. Well, if your life is lived to edify someone else, pray to interpret. Because that's where it's going to be an impact. Pray to interpret. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, when I'm in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I might instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in tongues. I'm going to finish up here with a thought. Now, I hope I didn't lose you from the beginning because I'm really stepping into new territory, but I have to say this. Watch this. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Like this previous metaphor, okay, children, as he was saying in the previous metaphors, in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. That word mature, telios. Same Greek word. Same Greek word for perfect. Same Greek word for mature. Same context he's using it in. I'm moved by that, personally. I think the Lord has shown me something in this. That we're to be mature in our thinking. We're to be perfect in our thinking. We're to be connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, as it was in Matthew 5. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, what do I mean by that? Oh, I can come to this spiritual, climactic person that I won't ever do anything wrong. I'm not saying that. In your thinking, be mature. Be looking. Be a spiritual man and not a natural man. And we'll pick up with this next week. So, be mature. What does that mean to be perfect? What does that mean to be mature? This is what Paul was leading them into. Out of worldliness, out of childishness, out of the flesh into the spirit. That's what's going to make you an effective church.